Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is beginning to wrap up his Sermon on the Mount when our gospel for today takes place in Matthew chapter 7. He has just warned the crowds before the words of our text, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So the path to God, to eternal life, is not nearly as broad as many people think it is. Most people, according to Jesus, don't end up in paradise. Most people enter by the wide gate and walk along the broad path that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. The gate is wide and the path is broad because there are many, many wrong answers and wrong beliefs about getting to where God is. Whereas there's only one right answer, one right way, and that is the way of Christianity, the way of faith in Christ Jesus and adherence to the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. I often use the example that there are an infinite number of ways to answer 2 + 2 wrongly, but there's only one right answer to the question. So it is with the kingdom of heaven and the path that leads to it. But where is that narrow gate that Jesus encourages us to find and enter by? Where is that difficult way which leads to life? Where is God's Word being taught in its truth and purity? Well, you'll find that there are many, many people in the world who would love to give you directions and point you to the gate. They're called prophets. That is, preachers or people who claim to represent God, people who claim to speak for God, to know the way to the narrow gate, to know the way to salvation. But beware of false prophets, Jesus warns. There will be many of them, many people who will point you to the wrong gate and to the wrong way. Now, many of those false prophets are not even Christian prophets. They're the prophets of Islam or Buddhism or any of the non-Christian religions of the world. They're also the religious fanatics who preach evolution in our society and in our schools. That false, insidious religion that has taken hold of our world. Beware of such false prophets. But beware even more of the ones who claim to speak for Jesus. Because you've already come to know that the pagan religions of the world are false. But when you hear the name of Jesus, you think, ah, this person must have something good to say. He's pointing me to Jesus. Not so fast, says Jesus. Not every prophet, not every preacher who calls Jesus Lord actually does the will of Jesus' Father, as he said at the end of our gospel. Not everyone who calls Jesus Lord points to that narrow gate. After all, why are there so many people who walk on the broad path that leads to destruction, if not for so many false prophets who point them there? So Jesus warns, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. That's a simple enough picture to picture, isn't it? It's on your front cover of your service folder, an example of it anyway. Well, what is it to come as a prophet or preacher in sheep's clothing? It means to present oneself and one's doctrine as innocent, harmless, loving, true, correct. That's what every preacher does, by the way, the true ones and the false ones. Every preacher who dares to come to someone else with a message from God comes looking like a sheep. The trick, of course, is telling which ones are the sheep and which ones are actually wolves dressed up as sheep. It's important because ultimately they're pointing in two different directions, one to the narrow gate and the other to the wide gate. The true prophet points to the narrow gate and that difficult way to life, while the false prophet points to the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction. The true prophet upholds all of God's word from beginning to end and teaches how all of Scripture points to Christ. He rebukes sin in those who are secure in their sins, and he points the penitent to Christ, who bore our sins on the cross and made satisfaction before God, who promises forgiveness of sins to all who believe. The false prophet, on the other hand, just like the devil himself, will freely use the Scriptures. It's just that he'll twist their meaning so that sin is no longer revealed as sin and Christ as Savior is hidden, obscured. His gospel is altered by the false prophet. Slightly at first, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. Now, how can you distinguish between the two, between the true prophet and the false one? By what do you judge them? By their hairstyle? Probably not. By their friendliness? By how large of a crowd they can draw around themselves in their preaching? By their ability to quote Scripture? By how many times they say the name of Jesus, even by the miracles they do in his name? No, Jesus says, none of those things will reveal whether you're dealing with a sheep or with a wolf in sheep's clothing. In fact, as Jesus says at the end of the gospel, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So how can you distinguish? How can you judge? And judge you must. Jesus says to the multitudes, to all of his disciples, not just the apostles, you will know them by their fruits. Now, the fruit of a prophet is twofold. It includes both his doctrine and his life. St. Paul commanded Pastor Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself, that is, to your own faith and your own life. And to the doctrine, to the entirety of what you teach God's people in God's name. Of course, judging a preacher's doctrine and life means you have to have a standard to judge by, and that standard is God's word. The Apostle John writes in his first epistle, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then, following that, he gives them a scriptural example of how to tell the difference between a prophet who preaches according to this scripture or one who doesn't. The scriptures are the standard. But to use the standard, you have to know the standard. Of course, you have to know the scriptures and study them yourself in order to be able to test the spirits, to test the ones who come to you in God's name. Just as the Bereans did in the book of Acts. when St. Paul came to them, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things Paul taught were according to God's word. And then with scripture as the foundation, as the fountain source, you can then branch out for help also to the confessions of the church over the ages to see if your pastor is teaching new things, new interpretations of scripture, or if he's simply teaching things that have always been taught and believed in the Holy Christian Church. So I urge you to read and study not only your Bible, but also our Lutheran confessions. Beware of false prophets by judging, by testing the doctrine of every preacher, especially the one to whose congregation you belong. And by testing also the preacher's life, but with this understanding. Every preacher whom God has ever sent, except for Jesus himself, has also been a sinner, and always will be a sinner. So don't judge a prophet by whether or not he sins or has weaknesses that are common to men. Judge him by whether or not he leads a penitent life, a godly life consistent with the gospel. See if he lives as one who is a slave to sin and a slave to fear, or as a debtor to God, and trusting in God as a child trusts in his father, as Paul talked about in today's epistle from Romans chapter 8. You'll never be able to look into any prophet's heart or see his attitudes or judge his mind. Nor does Jesus call on you to do that. Look at his fruits, his doctrine, and his life, as far as you can observe his life. And yes, that includes the fellowship to which he attaches himself, the synod or church body to which he belongs, so that his doctrine is not only what he preaches, but also the entirety of the doctrine and practice of the fellowship of which he has said, I belong to that. That's part of what you have to judge. And if you do that, not according to your own personal feelings, but according to God's word, then God assures you, you will know whether the prophet is true or false. It's a simple instruction from Jesus today. Beware of false prophets. It's an ongoing command that Jesus gives, because by God's own design, prophets will be around until the end of the world. That's God's will. And because even a true prophet can turn into a false prophet if he's not careful and if he's around long enough. It's a command from Jesus and a responsibility given to his dear people, because he truly wants you to enter through that narrow gate and that narrow road, which is hard to find and hard to walk. And so although he permits false prophets to be around in the world, and many of them at that, he also commits himself to sending true prophets to feed and to guide his people into the green pastures of his word, and finally to the unending banquet in heaven. And along with the prophet, he will also guide you by his Holy Spirit through his word to know which ones to trust and which ones to avoid. May he grant you wisdom and zeal to be good judges. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.